Another 92 people reported killed across Gaza by Israeli fire yesterday, according to news agencies, bringing the death toll from the war on Gaza close to 60,000 people, despite promised pauses to deliver food, water, medicine and fuel. In Scotland, the US President and the British Prime Minister discussed what they called appalling scenes in Gaza. Donald Trump acknowledged there is real starvation, but Israel's Prime Minister said it was a barefaced lie to say Israel is causing hunger. Later, we'll hear from New York and a UN conference talking about the future of Gaza and a former UN humanitarian chief. But let's go now to Jerusalem and speak to Linda Gradstein. She's correspondent for CBS Radio based in Jerusalem. Linda, good morning. Thanks for taking our call.
Sure. Good morning.
Is the starvation of Gaza being talked about, acknowledged in and by Israel now?
Yes. You know, this is the first time that it's kind of entered the mainstream Israeli media. You know, these reports have obviously been going on. The war has now been going on for 21 months. And until really this week, it wasn't part of most Israelis, the way they looked at it, the way they it wasn't part of the conversation. I think, you know, the reaction among Israelis really depends on where you are on the political spectrum. Those on the right, you know, say, well, there may be starvation in Gaza, but it's completely Hamas's fault. They are, you know, stealing the aid. They are the ones who were started the war 21 months ago, and they're responsible. Those who are more on the center and the left say, you know, this is not acceptable. Israel should be providing food, should be allowing, you know, they're kind of shocked by these images of children starving in Gaza.
And what is being reported there? How much are people in Israel seeing of what's happening?
Well, now they're seeing more. I mean, part of it is that, you know, there's no foreign journalists and Israeli journalists are not allowed into Gaza to report. Israeli journalists haven't been allowed for many years, but by the Israeli government. And the Israeli government has also stopped foreign journalists from reporting. So all of the reporting is coming from local journalists. And, you know, Israel also, for example, banned Al Jazeera. So Al Jazeera, which reports on Gaza, you know, 24/7 almost, so Israelis are not seeing that. However, they are now, I think, you know, seeing some of those images. At the same time, for example, there was a photo of a little boy that kind of went viral and how he had, you know, was starving and whatever. And it turned out that he was a child with cerebral palsy and had a lot of other medical issues. And he wasn't even in Gaza. He had been evacuated for treatment. He's in Italy now. So there's also a lot of kind of spin and fake news going on.
As we were reporting there, contradictions between Donald Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu, but is there any sign of a meaningful gap now between the US and Israel?
Well, you know, it's not clear what that means. I mean, the question is Israel went changed its policy completely. I mean, up until, you know, a week ago, Netanyahu was saying, you know, we are not going to let anything into Gaza. Since March, very little has gotten into Gaza. And the Israeli idea was that if there's enough pressure on the population, they will turn against Hamas, or it was a way of pressuring Hamas to ease its demands in the ceasefire talks, which seem now to have broken down. Now, Israel completely switched policy. And all of a sudden, Israel is airdropping aid into Gaza. You know, there's fighting over this aid. It's not a coherent policy. The UN is not able to, you know, get the aid to the people who need it. And so what's happening is that this aid is being stolen. It's not clear who, by whom, but a lot of it is being stolen. There are fights at these airdrop places. And only if you're strong and, you know, the majority of the population, certainly women and children, are not very strong and are the ones who really need the aid. So there's a bit of a, you know, it's quite chaotic in terms of what's going on. The question is whether, you know, did Trump pressure Netanyahu, which seems to have played a role in Israel's reversal of its decisions. But basically, Israel is giving Gaza and Hamas all of this aid and all of these, you know, humanitarian pauses and fighting for nothing in return. So, you know, what caused Netanyahu to completely turn around his position?
Is a ceasefire or an outright stop in this war at all likely or being openly discussed in Israel?
Well, right now, you know, there are no talks going on. There were 2.5 weeks of talks, indirect talks between Israel and Hamas in Qatar. And there really was a sense that they were fairly close to a deal on a ceasefire. The U.S. envoy, Steve Witkoff, had meetings with both sides. And, you know, everybody was waiting for the announcement of a 60-day temporary ceasefire, and it broke down as so many of these ceasefires have in the past. That said, I think there are still, it's possible that the ceasefire talks will be resumed. There are reports coming out of Qatar that it's not as, you know, it's not that the sides are so far apart that the gaps could be arranged, and that, you know, perhaps these food drops and humanitarian aid is the first step towards that. Again, we don't know that. I still am convinced that a ceasefire is possible. From the Israeli perspective, there are 50 hostages, probably 20 are alive, 30 are dead. And that I think for many Israelis, they're still living in October 7th from 21 months ago. And only once all of the hostages are brought back can the country really begin to heal. From the Palestinian side, if there was a ceasefire, that would allow a much more organized aid effort to really get aid in. It would allow people to kind of take a break. Most people in Gaza have been displaced. As you mentioned at the beginning, the death toll is close to 60,000, including 17,000 children under the age of 18. So I think there is a sense on all sides that this war has kind of run its course. But how you get from that to a ceasefire, that's the hard part.
Linda Gradstein, thanks for speaking to us. Linda's correspondent for CBS Radio based in Jerusalem. It's 21 minutes past 7.